Blog Talk Radio. was The Streets from our guest today, Vidina Mose. Let me read a little bit of her bio. She is the daughter of legendary Congolese musician Mose Fanfan. She was immersed in music at an early age and has always yearned to build a musical niche for her all of her own. Her daring and intrepid work has earned her much notoriety and acclaim on print, on stage, and on record. Blessed with one of the most distinctive voices of the generation, she is also an intuitive guitarist and composer, and she showcases her skills brilliantly on her debut classic album, The Soul Remembers Everything. She is currently working on a new release, The Bohemian Bantu, and without any further delay, ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you Vidina Mose. Vidina?
Hi there.
Hi, how are you doing today? I understand we're in Tanzania. What's going on over there?
I'm in Tanzania. Right now it's 1 in the morning, and it's about 33 degrees, and I'm just sweating sitting down.
Okay, are you over there touring or performing or what's...
Well, I'm over here. I'm actually here writing. I'm writing. I'm visiting my ancestral land because I was born in Tanzania, although I grew up in Europe. So I'm coming here to visit the graves of my ancestors, pay my respects, continue to write songs for my next album, which I'm going to start recording next month. And, yeah, just to be here in the sunshine and, you know, Africa.
I understand. I completely understand. Now, let me ask you, how long have you been recording? And you said this, the album that's out is your debut album. How long have you been in the process of getting that recorded? And how long have you basically been working on your career as a musician?
Well, as you said, my album, The Soul Remembers Everything, was my first debut album, as in the first album I've made as a solo artist in my own right. But before that album, I worked with other bands on different albums. I was in bands. I did session work, did some backing singing. But a band I was in about 8 years ago now, called August, which was a really hot, funky, hip-hop, jazz kind of band. We made an album called It's Not the Wand, It's the Magic. And that's an album we made about 8 years ago. And, right now, my recent album, it probably took me... The recording part took me about 3 weeks. But before that, you have the whole, you know, writing the songs, kind of making demos to decide which are the ones will go on the album. And then so 3 weeks of recording, and then after the recording comes the mixing and editing and all that kind of thing.
Right. Okay. And what do you draw your inspiration for your music? Do you draw it from some of your magical practices or...
Ooh, that is a really great question. Definitely. I draw my inspiration from life to start off with, but for me, life in itself is a magical practice.
Right.
As well as, you know, you can have rituals and ceremonies and things like that, but just the day-to-day act of living life can definitely be experienced as a magical thing. And so my role, I feel, as an artist is to take the experiences of my life and of those around me, whether they're good or bad or however you want to look at it, and to turn them into something. It's almost like an act of alchemy, you could call it. And it's definitely, just act of writing a song is a magical thing. You have an idea that you channel from somewhere and then you turn it into something and then you,
Right. And you turn it into sound power, and that actually moves people to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, beautiful. What are you seeing? Let me ask you this. What do you see as a difference between some of the things that inspired the first album and what's inspiring you as you work on the new album? What might be the differences that you see coming out in your art?
The differences coming out in my art from the first album to this one. Definitely there's the wisdom that you gain from just being a bit older. You know, I made the first album a couple of years ago now. But also since making the first album, I've definitely deepened in my day-to-day magical practice.
Okay.
And also my meditation practice that I do. And so I find that's given me a feeling of more groundedness, although paradoxically at the same time, a lot more far outness, a lot more kind of woo. but it's a great feeling to feel extremely grounded as well as extremely, you know, up in the air and connecting to all the elements and to fuse that together onto my next album. Also, the thing that is quite different about my next album, it will be called the Bohemian Bantu, and so I'm bringing in a lot of my roots on there, my African influences, which they're present on the first album, but they're not so explicit because I recorded the album when I was living in London, so it's got a lot of that kind of London thing, a bit hipster, a bit kind of alienation of the big city life. Whereas since making the album, I've left the big city completely. And it's interesting you played the song The Streets, which is about living in a very urban environment and yearning for nature, for oceans, for forests, for all of that. And so I'm living that right now. I live kind of in the countryside, but I travel around constantly. Like, I'm in Africa now. So since the first album and the one to come, I've gotten out of the big city grind and I've become, you know, at one with the forests and the oceans and bringing my African influences a lot more to the forefront.
Okay, wow. Wow, that sounds beautiful. Let me ask you, you mentioned meditation. What magical traditions, if you want to share, do you find yourself attracted to in practice?
Magical traditions. I suppose you could say that I'm sort of a dabbler in lots of different things. But in terms of the meditation, I don't know if you've ever heard of Queen Afua.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Queen Afua. I got her book, Sacred Woman, quite a while ago. And that was really a big initiation for me into meditation. Because in her book, you follow these, what she calls, sacred gateways involving meditation and having a really clean diet and things like that. And part of it is waking up at 4 a.m. to do these womb meditations where you connect with your womb and everything. And I've been doing that, and that's been really phenomenal. At the same time, I've also started a kind of magical training with someone called Carolyn Elliott, who does a practical magic course called Influence. And that is quite focused on shadow integration and exploring all the different sides of your psyche and everything in order to enhance your magical work. So in terms of specific magical traditions, I mean, I'm definitely getting myself rooted in the traditional ancient African magical practice, which involves a lot of, you know, honoring your ancestors.
Right.
Nature spirit, being one in nature, and I use that as my foundation, and then I dabble from that place. I think I answered the question, I'm not sure.
No, you did perfectly. That makes perfect sense. I didn't know, because we hadn't discussed yet, whether you were kind of tied to one particular tradition, or if whether you'd, like you said, you've kind of used African tradition as your root or your base, and then from there you branch into what feels right to your soul. And that makes perfect sense. I kind of do the same thing myself. Let me ask you, because the thing that brought you to my attention was not long after the Super Bowl, the Beyonce performance was criticized on both sides of the fence, backwards and forwards. And I read your article. Your article was very, very enlightening to me, and it was very inspiring. One of the things that you said in the article, and I wanted to get your insight deeper, you said that it was a coven activation par excellence. What does that mean to you, and how does that interpret to just anybody who happens to see Beyonce, who's a magical practitioner? What do you think that means overall?
That to me means, I mean, that song, like as you said, was a coven activation par excellence, meaning that just with hearing it, it triggers something in the listener.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it was a very powerful feeling. And it's even more profound for me because, I mean, I like Beyonce, but I'm not like a huge Beyonce fan. I don't listen to all the albums and everything. So I hear the music and it's nice. I can dance to it. But something about this song stopped me dead in my tracks.
Wow.
And I had a feeling just kind of rumbled inside me and woke up. And I just couldn't, when I first heard the song, I couldn't calm down for a couple of days. I just kept listening to it. And it was just, without even knowing what was going on, I could feel things were kind of working in me. And then I went online and, you know, I began chatting to different people. And I found other people were having this exact same feeling just from hearing the song. And
wow.
That to me just told me this is something really powerful. Really, really, really powerful. And, I mean, I think Beyonce is a witch. I think a lot of people in the public eye, they may not publicly say it or
right.
even really realize it because you can be witchy without being, you know...
Without conscious of it.
Overtly witch. Mm, exactly. So then after having a couple of days of just being so, like, amped by this song, really awoken something, it really awoke something in me, I wrote that article. I think I sat down one day. It was really sunny outside. And usually if it's sunny, you will not see me indoors. But on this particular day, I was indoors for, I think, 6 hours or 5 hours, just sat in one place writing this article, finding the pictures, just editing. And I just had to get this article written right then and there. And I submitted it to the magazine, and they published it, which I'm really glad of because I really felt I had to share this point of view
right.
with people. Yeah.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. Beyonce is marketed towards an audience that's much younger than myself, so I've never been a Beyonce fan. But I appreciate, you know, her and Jay-Z's business dealings, what have you. The fact that she was able to pull off this performance at the Super Bowl, to me, it says at least she's trying. I don't know, you know, some people say it's fake and she's just, you know, capitalizing on a moment. But she did put some symbolism in her video and in her performance that I think is beneficial for my children to see and other children to see, especially those who might have might not be as religiously locked down as I was when I was a kid, who can see some of the symbolism and say, okay, Beyonce is trying to push things further in the esoteric direction. So I give her props, and I thought your article kind of hit on that. So that's why I reached out to you.
Thank you.
But, you know, we're not here to talk about Beyonce, really. We're here to talk about you. I want to take a music break real quick. I'm going to go ahead and play the song Warrior from your current album, and then when we come back, I have a few more questions. So everybody, just hold on real quick. This is more music by Vidina Mose. This is Warrior.
Not much dough. So she's resolved to make a do. Well, where she was, she was well worn out, but she knew. Yeah.
ladies and gentlemen. That was Warrior by Vedina Mose. That is, of course, from the album The Soul Remembers Everything. Vedina, I want to ask you, who did the guitar work on that? Was that you yourself, or was that another musician that you worked with?
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Hello? Oh, great. All the guitar work on the album, I did.
Oh, wow. Wow. I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. Kind of reminiscent of a Joni Mitchell style. Not to pigeonhole you, but I love the feel of it. It's very open, very airy.
Well, that's great. I mean, I love Joni Mitchell, so.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. go ahead and give me more details of what's next. I know you're working on the new album. What other things can we expect from you? And have you come to America and done any dates? And do you plan on coming to America to do any dates?
I've never been to America to perform as a solo artist. I've been there when I worked with other bands before, but not. Where are you actually, Kenneth?
I'm in Kansas City area, right at the Kansas and Missouri border.
Oh, okay.
So right in the Midwest.
Okay. No, I've never been there, but I would love to come to the States. And I mean, that's one thing I love about like social media and Facebook. On Facebook, I connect with lots of people from the States, and they keep asking me, "When are you coming? When are you coming over? When can we see you live over here?" And
right.
Hopefully this year I'll come over at some point. I'm not sure exactly when, but for the time being, after I return to Europe from Africa, I'll be getting into the studio to lay this album down. So yeah, the new album should be coming out around the end of May.
Okay.
And as well as that, I'll be working on some videos for the album. Some really, what I want is some very intense, very witchy visuals to accompany the music.
Okay.
Which should be great fun. And then I'll be doing shows, different festivals and things around Europe and hopefully the States. And also another place I'd love to play is Japan.
Okay. Well, I hope the door is open. Come back anytime. I want to hear about your new projects, and I don't know anybody here who promotes shows, but if I can find somebody here that can get you here to get you seen and heard, I would love to build that kind of relationship and rapport. Thank you once again for being on my show. Like I said, I do want you to come back and be a guest again. I don't want to hold you up any longer. I know you said it's about 1 o'clock in the morning, so.
Well, I'm kind of a night owl, so I mean, after we get off here, I've got my guitar next to me, so I'm gonna just do a bit of writing and probably play until dawn.
It's
so hard to sleep anyway.
All right. Well, thanks again for being with us, ladies and gentlemen. An exciting artist on the scene, Vedina Mose. She is a musician. She is an artist. She is a writer. She is a practitioner of her own magical tradition. I am honored to have her on my show, and we will have her back when time permits. At this time, I want to go ahead and bring the show to a close. I want to thank everybody once again for joining us on iMagi Nation Radio. Once again, I say welcome to the black hole, broadcasting live from the top of the magneton, rising high out of the abyss. This is Sabanur, a.k.a. Saku, and enjoy your evening. And remember, Black Matter Lives.